again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, where we'll be talking about video game music, so have a listen and hope you enjoy. So, to start this show off, I think I'll be playing music from a fun, enjoyable game that was released a bit ago. It is called Plants vs. Zombies. Now, Plants vs. Zombies was developed by PopCap, and you may be familiar with PopCap, and indeed they did have an office right here in Dublin, in Ireland, before they closed it down. Yeah, PopCap seemed to have a very sort of burst of popularity in the mid to late noughties when casual games were going on. This would be games where people would like buy them and download them and play them, but they might necessarily be the more hardcore gamers. For instance, there were like people who were just casually enjoyed playing it, and there were classic ones like Bejeweled and Peggle and that one with the worm that's all about spelling and stuff, and so on and so forth. They did pretty well until Facebook came along and Zynga, and they started realizing, hey, you know those games that kind of like PopCap was kind of doing? We're going to do them differently, where it looks like it seems like you're playing them for free, only there's more management going on, and then it turns out in order to actually get any good, you have to pay lots and lots of money as you continue to keep playing them. That's called the freemium model. But regardless, PopCap still made quite a few fun, enjoyable, as they were called, casual games, but at the same time, they were still pretty fun, and one game, which actually is a very enjoyable game, whether you're like casual or a bit more hardcore like me, or I don't know, I say myself as midcore, but I don't know. They released one called Plants vs. Zombies. It was a kind of a tower defense game, and it had very nice, fun little visuals. It was basically zombies were attacking your house, and the best way to fend them off was to plant plants in your lawn. And these were sentient plants that could attack the zombies, but they couldn't move. So you had to figure out exactly how to plant the plants in the right way in order to fend off wave after wave of zombie attacks. Quirky, but a lot better than it sounds. And actually quite a fun game, anyway. Here, I'll play the theme of that game just to start you guys off. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. And that was the intro theme for Plants vs. Zombies, aka Crazy Dave. And it is, as I said, from the game Plants vs. Zombies, which was developed by PopCap. And the music there was by Laura Shigara. And if you're listening to recent episodes, you'll know that Laura Shigara also made the music for To the Moon, a very sentimental but quite funny role-playing game that was released some time ago. But yes, she is out in force and has made a lot of really nice music for this game, and I really, really like it. One of the slight things I have with this her music to her game is sometimes I don't quite hear enough of it. And what I mean is that when you're playing the game, there's a very smart thing, whereas when starting off, a nice tune plays. But as more and more zombies flood the screen, suddenly the music starts to get more intense and like more accompanied and like fuller and richer. The slight problem is I tended to be pretty damn good at the game, so when a large, gigantic wave of zombies came at me, I'd hear the, like, better music, I'd decimate the zombies kind of very quickly, and then I'd be like, no, wait, richer, fuller music, come back, I know I've killed all the zombies, but I kind of really liked listening to you, come on, do you want me to, like, kill these zombies slower or something? I just want to listen to the good music. But one of the weird, interesting things of making the music more interactive with the game, that you actually want to do badly, so you hear better music. Actually, I've heard other games, such as Sonic Unleashed and stuff, where they deliberately make the music play worse and, like, more out of tune the more badly you play at that game. It's a nice technique that a couple of games have played, and it actually works very well, because when you're failing, it's like the music is failing along with you, with all this, with all these jangly chords and, like, off-time beats and stuff. But there you go, anyway. Some of it can just seem utterly hilarious. But yes, a lot of great music for this game. Laura made a great track for this, and I think I'll see about hitting you with another track from this game. What we have here is Watery Grave, Fast, and of course, same composer, same game. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. Just had there were Watery Graves Fast. It was also by Laura Shigara and from Plants vs. Zombies by PopCap Games. You know, you might wonder why the game is so good, but the game just has a lot of little depth and a lot of details, and it's just very, very fun. Yep, there are mini games, there's a lot of, like, little extra features and stuff. You get to, like, plant your own little garden. And what's more is it's just very comical and engaging. If a different types of zombies hit your lawn, you've got different types of plans to fight them back, and there is a bit of strategy involved in trying to figure out the best combination depending on what wave of zombies you've got. But I leave you right now with the classic one, the ending music of the game that was used in one of its trailers, Zombies on Your Lawn. And it's got vocals by Laura herself. Just enjoy it.
You like the taste of brains, we don't like zombies. I used to play football. Well, don't protect my head. I have a screen door shield. We are the undead. Like a tricycle. There's powder on my head. I'm gonna eat your brain. We are the undead.
And that was quite a nice track. As I said, it's the credits tune from Plants vs. Zombie by Laura Shikara, and it is from Plants vs. Zombie by PopCap. So, enough of plants and zombies for the time being. I think it's time to move on to the next one. And that is another game that I came across kind of recently and was also released kind of recently. And it surprised me because the game is actually really, really good. Because, I mean, it's like this. I loved point-and-click adventure games. One of my earliest games was Monkey Island, Black on the Classic. Well, first it was an Amiga, then I played it on the PC because, I don't know, it was one of those things where I ended up with the first disc, you know, the floppy disc of Monkey Island, and lost all the other discs. So I could play it fine right up until I entered the scum bar, which was about 5 minutes into the game. Then it asked me to switch to a disc that I currently didn't have. So, which I, of course, couldn't do. So, I would just do all I could do in the game without actually entering the scum bar. And if you've played the game, you know that the scum bar is actually where pretty much everything major thing in the game takes off. So, I could see the intro sequence. I could admire posters of the Governor Marley. I could walk around a pier, but I couldn't really do that much else. I think I was able to go into town. The point is, I finally got a re-release for the PC, and then things were much, much happier in my direction. But the point is, point-and-click adventure games have had a kind of history. They were very popular in the 90s, then they kind of went down a bit in popularity for various reasons. There's this really satirical blog post about the reasons where it talks about how it had extremely obtuse puzzle solving that would let people bash their heads against the illogic of the game. I mean, that was the big thing about point-and-click. You could easily get stuck. You know, they were great when you could talk with people or engage with people. There were more adventures. They actually let you do different things depending on what the situation was. It wasn't just a single gameplay method you repeated over and over again. But at the same time, a lot of times developers would fall back on just, in order to progress to the next section, you must find this really obscure item, combine it with something else in a way that is a nice idea if you're watching an animation, but if you're trying to work at how to do it without even knowing in advance, that's kind of tricky. In fact, actually, some of the best, there have been some actually great point and click. I remember Simon the Sorcerer 2, for instance. It had a very, like, you know, Looney Tunes sort of atmosphere. So then at one point when a mummy started approaching to me, I said, I know how to solve this problem. I've seen it in cartoons. And I found a loose bandage, pulled it, and the zombie unraveled. So it's like having a puzzle that makes sense to the player before they actually see the solution is the tricky part. But I'm kind of going off onto the side. Long story short, after the 90s, where there were a lot of different things, there was like Simon the Sorcerer, there was a lot of different takes and attempts on the puzzle genre, including, of course, by LucasArts and, of course, who did Monkey Island. Then after LucasArts closed their adventure game division, making their last game be Full Throttle and some other stuff, then through the early noughties, it was largely Eastern Europe, actually. Yeah, stuff like Siberia and The Longest Journey and and actually more France with this one, but Pendulo with Runaway. It was European studios were still keeping Point and Click Adventure going, but it still had its problems. And the thing is, I'd kind of fallen out of favour a bit with Point and Clicks. They just, like I said, sometimes you're just going through the motions, but it just doesn't engage you. And then I came across Resonance, and I think I have to say it really helped revitalize my interest in Point and Click, because this game is good. It is a sci-fi thriller set in a rather contemporary American-style city, which begins by telling you that a bunch of terrorist attacks have happened across the world, with weird explosions happening. I mean, they're not quite explosions, but more like spheres of area are suddenly disappearing off the face of the world. And then it takes us back into the past to try to figure out exactly what's going on. So there's this race, and you meet up with four different characters, each of which, after playing a bit about, you can interact. And it suddenly occurs to them that one of them is working for the scientist who apparently is developing this technology, and they're worried about making sure that this technology doesn't fall into the wrong hands. Which, of course, is technically spoiled by the opening of the game, since we know they already do fall into the wrong hands. But the point is, you're still desperately on a search to try to find this vault, to try to figure out exactly where it is, what a bit more details about the science, who exactly might have a chance to misuse it. Oh, yeah, did I mention the scientist actually ended up getting killed by his own invention? Yeah, that's the whole point, and it's believed to be murder. So we've got the whole, you know, and of course there's the whole we can't go to the police thread, which is always a good one, but they actually justify it in this game. All right, speaking of police, this is Police Headquarters, one of the tracks from the game. Have a listen, and hope you... Essentially, as I said, you control four characters. They're all kind of like different parts of society. There's one person, of course, who's the assistant to the scientist. There's a detective, police officer. There's an intrepid reporter who's got a blog. And there's another one who's, you know, a medical worker who's basically has a bit of a troubled past. And as she goes through the game, she ends up having to deal with it. The game really, what I love about the game is the puzzles. It puts you in a lot of challenges. None of the puzzles are too hard. There's maybe like one part of the game that's a little illogical because you're meant to grab something out of a room and it's not always obvious to see it. But don't worry, you get a chance to return to the room. But it makes sense because in adventure, point-and-click adventure games, so often they put up arbitrary obstacles in your way that feel arbitrary. And when you defeat them, it's like, you know, if this happened in real life, I would have actually got through it without this much problems. So it's forcing you to jump through hoops to do something that's not really much of an achievement in the general landscape of the world. But the great thing about Resonance is that it is quite an achievement. You're basically trying to hunt down a scientist's lab. You need to get your hands on several documents that in a lot of logical systems you probably shouldn't have legal access to. And so you basically have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to actually achieve something that's genuinely hard. And that's the whole thing. You're genuinely achieving a difficult task. And so a lot of the obstacles in your way don't so much feel like obstacles, they feel like, well, of course that we're facing this thing. Like, if you're trying to defeat an intensely powerful security system, of course you're not going to have an easy time at it. It's not going to be like putting like a paperclip in whatever and getting through. you know that the game is going to offer more of a challenge than that. And that's one of the great things about this game. It the puzzles make sense. You feel like you're taking on the city, and there's so much database hacking and stuff. You've got to manipulate so many computer systems and databases, trying to get the information you need, try to get more details on the vault. And meanwhile, you have to work together, because of course you're controlling four characters at the same time, and you got to switch between them in order to do the right thing at the right time. And it's just, you know, it's a good gameplay mechanic as well. The music, of course, is very atmospheric. It was composed mainly by Nicholas Sidaris, who was born in Greek, and he's done a lot of music work, and this is one of his game soundtracks. It's got a lot of great and very atmospheric tunes, including a vocal tune by Louisa Sifanopoulou, and it really just helps everything go together. The game just feels so epic in scope. It feels like a real big Hollywood thriller, and that's pretty awesome. I just gotta love that. On top of that, the game itself was actually developed for a large amount of time by one guy. This was like one guy pushing himself forward under the title of 12 Games or XII Games. And he just really wanted to make this game. It was his passion. He kept developing it. And that's really, really admirable. But I think he was having a little bit of trouble at one stage, because he got some help to finish it, and he got help from none other than Dave Gilbert at Wajidai Games. If you're in any way familiar with point-and-click adventure games, you will be familiar with Wajidai. It was set up by Dave Gilbert. In the mid-noughties, he was developing some amateur and fun free point-and-click adventure games, and since then he's actually gone professional with some games he developed, but in other games he's actually collaborated with other people on. What happens with Wajidai games is that they're defined by quality, by a real attention to detail, by working with great people, and by usually including the voice of Abe Goldfarb. That's kind of a side thing. And yeah, he does pop up in this game as well. But I'll talk more about it some other time. The key thing is that this is a game of, you know, people wanting to make the best game that they can, of someone helping who really knew his point-and-click adventure games, but also the passion of an individual who had his own unique vision to the project. And I think that that's one of the things that just makes this just a really good game, definitely. I think in order to round off the show, I need to play some music from it. It is from the credits of Resonance. It is called I Will Be There. It is a great track, and I just really enjoy it. And as I said, it is by Nicholas Sirtis. It is vocals by Louisa Sifanopoulou. And it is from the game Resonance, developed by XII Games, published by Wajidai Games. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. And this has been David Collins with BitNote. Remember, you can catch other episodes on bitnotefm.com. And have a listen and hope you enjoy. And thank you very much for listening.
Our lives will never despair.